on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
It's another edition of YokeCast, and this week we get a chance to talk to David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, about football wrapping up its season, and also, has volleyball done enough to earn an NCAA at-large opportunity? We'll talk about all that coming up, but also, Bob Nielsen's friend, Martin Hanselman, who is a football coach and part of a coaching development program in Germany, brought a group of coaches to the University of South Dakota last week. Had a chance to catch up with Martin and talk to him about football in Germany and the growth of the development program. We start this week with David Herbster, the athletic director at the University of South Dakota.
David, we get for a get set for a holiday break here, the Thanksgiving holiday, and of course for a lot of students that will mean the opportunity to maybe get away from campus, kind of reset themselves going into the final stretch of the winter or the fall and winter semester as they get into this first part. But a lot of athletes, you know this, they keep going, and it doesn't slow down for them. And it's kind of one of those interesting times with holidays. You got basketball teams and other sports who are taking trips during the holiday and just kind of getting away. It's a good time for team chemistry building as well.
It really is. You know, with this is a great time, basketball-wise, you're going to have a lot of tournaments about this time, and certainly our women's basketball team heading out to Vegas to play Northern Illinois and Ohio State gives you a chance to get out there. Our men are taking kind of the West Coast swing, take part in the – I think when we play Cal Baptist, that'll be part of the Summit League WAC Challenge, hit a little Northern Arizona while they're out there, a little Washington while we're out there. So they're – kind of in the middle of a little bit of a swing right now. Doing this over the holiday really means you can travel and get some games in without missing class as well. So you always look for that. Plus, it's the best time to get out of here, get somewhere warm, and get those games in.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, one group that gets to take a little time off. The football team wrapped up their season 5-7 on the year, but capped it off in a nice way with a 24-21 home win over South Dakota State in the South Dakota Showdown Series. And I know this doesn't want to be a program that just hangs its hat on winning an in-state rivalry game and calling it a success, but it just seemed like that was such a big way to end not only the season that's been full of some ups and downs, but for these seniors for the first time beating South Dakota State.
That was a big one. I think, you know, as a player, you always want to win your senior day. This one, you know, our senior day comes last game of the year for the season, and against a team that we haven't beaten since 2000, one that we've had so many close calls against. And you're right, it's a season that, frankly, was disappointing. It didn't go our way in a lot of different ways. We, you know, you can pick out a couple games here or there, and 7-5 turns into 8-4 really quick, but that's not what happened. And so I think what you saw in that win on Saturday and beating South Dakota State was not only by the players, but by the coaching staff, just that outburst, that explosion of emotion of, you know, yes, finally, not only does that, you know, stop a fairly lengthy losing streak against one team, but also just kind of put a cap on a year that was marred by ups and downs, by really making a statement, taking a stand and saying, yes, we are good. And they, what I kind of took out of it the most was both the team, certainly those seniors and that coaching staff, did not give up, still came out with nothing to prove, you know, and yet nothing to lose, and coming out and playing a top five ranked team in South Dakota State and beating them, I think says a lot about the character of this team and of this staff. And certainly, you know, the fans, the you know, you could really tell how everybody felt about the win. About the win when you were downtown after the game and there were still people everywhere, almost like a D-Day's game. I think people just chose to celebrate and enjoy the moment.
You know, the fans, you talk about them, they were engaged in that football game from the opening kickoff until the celebration started after the win. That's as good as a game from start to finish with the fan base. Boy, they were engaged and they were enjoying every minute of it, you know?
They really were. And it was, you know, for only having fans on one side, it was loud, and I was down on the field, so most of that sound's going to go right over my head. But you could still feel it, you know. The players certainly felt it. It did get loud in there. It was an engaged group, because I think especially after that first quarter, there was a sense of, okay, this we kind of got this one, and you're up 10-7 at half. And there's that level of a renewed sense of optimism that I noticed. Now, they come out right in the second half and they score right away. And I think everybody was like, uh-oh. And I think the one of the pivotal moments in the game is our team's response to their score in that first score in the second half to come back with the score and basically retake the lead. And we never looked back after that. And that is the potential, what this team, I think, was looking for. That type of reaction, but that type of play, I know this team is what they're looking for, consistency all year long.
You know, speaking of fans just on one side, that raises the next question about the other side. The fans saw the entire season, some progress being done the entire way, and I know the day after that win over South Dakota State, the turf is peeled up, construction kind of expanded its area that they're working on, and tracks started to set up. So as soon as football was over, it seemed like it was a full go for not only track and field, but that construction group as well.
Right. I think really quickly we got some elements moved into the dome once that turf went up, inputting the pole vault runways, the long jump and triple jump runways, setting up high jump, making sure and clearing the space for tennis. And then already, I mean, for what people even saw on Saturday, twice as much is done on those stands. And I'd venture to say within the next week, that seating, at least the structure for the seating, will be complete. So everybody made pretty short work of getting to action once that last game was done and the turf came up. So, construction started right away. And there's already, I mean, we had athletes practicing in the dome yesterday, or I should say Monday, and it happened fast.
Well, I know that fans will be excited to see what that west side looks like whenever they get the chance to go back in the dome, and especially to start the football season next year. So football's wrapped up its year at 5-7, and we'll look to see how the building continues with the football program. One program that has certainly built itself into a very, very solid program, volleyball. Disappointing trip to Denver, losing in the semifinals of the Summit League tournament. They'll sit and wait to find out if they're in the NCAA tournament, if they get an at-large opportunity from the selection committee, but it sure feels like this team deserves a shot after the second longest winning streak in the nation and just two losses all year. It's pretty incredible what this team has accomplished.
It really is, and you know, winning the regular season, I've always said, is a much bigger accomplishment than winning a tournament. A tournament is 3 days. The season is, you know, 2 months worth. And certainly to navigate that season undefeated, you know, putting it in perspective, we lost once in September and we lost one match in our conference tournament. And that was really it. Looking at this group and their resume and what they've done, where our RPI is right now. We had some teams that we were kind of following fairly closely as far as, you know, the number one seeds that were fairly high up in the RPI, playing in their conference tournament championships. The five that we needed to win all won, which means, you know, that those are fewer at-large spots that could potentially be taken if those teams had lost. And, you know, selection committee might look at them. So, from my time serving on some of those selection committees over the years, those regional ranking committees and looking at somebody's resume, those things that you kind of just pointed out of 27-2, we had the nation's second longest winning streak, are right now an RPI of 42. I would say that we've done enough to make the NCAA tournament. Certainly, our resume is nearly identical to what Denver's was last year when we beat them in the conference final and they got an at-large bid. So I would say, too, that the committee is certainly understands and appreciates USD volleyball based on last year, certainly based on this year. So we're, at the very least, we're coming into this year's selection as a known entity and not just saying, you know, who are these ladies?
Yeah, certainly going into the tournament last year helps a lot. Is there anything that the athletic department can do and to make sure that USD is being in the eyes of the committee? Or is it just the season and the resume they put together and now we just sit and wait?
No, we will put in, you know, in conjunction with the Summit League, we do kind of put together a resume, a portfolio, if you will, and send that off to the selection committee. That kind of highlights all the outstanding accomplishments of this year, not only with the record, but we're also coming into the tournament healthy. And that is, again, something that the selection committee will look at is, do you have all your players? Do you have all your stars? You know, we have the defensive player of the year. You have the setter of the year. You have the freshman of the year. We had five on our team that had all league honors, and which is pretty impressive. Tells you the stable of players and the quality that we've got. Those all are little elements that go into what a committee looks at when it comes time for selection.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing how things play out. The selection show, for fans' knowledge, is on Sunday. It is December 1st. It'll take place at 7:30 Central Time on ESPNU, and we'll watch for that USD logo to pop up onto the screen. David, thanks so much for the time. Always appreciate it. Thanksgiving holiday is this week. I hope you get some time to kind of step back and relax yourself and enjoy some time with the family.
No, we are for the probably the first time in a long time, we are not traveling this Thanksgiving, either with a team or many times we'll head up to Minnesota and spend it with some family. But I think everybody here is just kind of tired, and so the family's all here. I get to cook a turkey and spend half a day in the kitchen. I try not to eat more than I cook, but that doesn't always work out that way.
It's kind of required as a chef, you know, so you just got to be the taste tester.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate it. Enjoy the Thanksgiving. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
Last week, I had a chance to catch up with Martin Hanselman. He is in charge of a development program for coaching in Germany, and he brings coaches over to the United States and the University of South Dakota the last several years. He's had a very tight friendship with head football coach Bob Nielsen, and Bob Nielsen and some of his staff members have gone over and talked at a coaching convention in Germany. It's great to catch up with Martin Hanselman and talk to him about football in Germany. Martin, you bring over coaches to the United States, and I know for a few years it's been here at the University of South Dakota because of Coach Bob Nielsen. What's your connection to Coach Nielsen?
Well, Bob and I met, I think it was in 92 or 93, when he brought over a college team to Germany. And there started the connection. We had a friendly game in Germany. He brought over college students. And after that, I came to the United States, and so the connection began. And it's not only a football connection. We became friends, and since then, he came several times to Germany for conventions or to visit, and I came over to the United States several times. And yeah, that's the connection, and it's based on that.
So you bring over coaches, and you've got a group with you this week at the University of South Dakota. What is their goal of being here?
They're all football coaches in Europe, and they all want to improve themselves in American football, in coaching. They want to learn about football. And it's a part of the football coaches development program we have in Europe. And so I try to bring every year a group of coaches to the United States and to South Dakota that they can learn from the coaches, the players, and the game.
When you look at the coaches that you bring over, what level of football are they coaching in Europe?
They they're coaching all kinds of level. This is, you would say, high school. We call it youth football. They start with kids 15 to 19 years old, and a lot of adult teams from 19 years old and older. So all kinds. We have GFL coaches here from the highest league in Europe, and also youth team coaches.
When it comes to just how relevant the sport is, how big is football in Germany and in Europe?
Well, that's this could be a longer answer. When I started, and I started in 82, I remember we played, and some a lady came at me and she said, "We know who you guys are. You are from a fencing club," because they thought we have all these helmets and shoulder pads for fencing. But now it changed a lot. Now football really grew up a lot. The NFL Europe helped a lot. And now we have all the NFL games on TV in Germany, and many young people love it. And I know from the federation, in all sports, even against soccer in Europe, we develop more. We got a rate of 12% of increasing in young people. This is more than soccer and other team sports in Europe do. So it develops a lot, and it becomes more and more famous.
When you talk about the NFL now being on TV in Germany, and obviously the NFL has made an effort of having 4 to 6 games sometimes in Europe, either in London or Tottenham. How much has the NFL placing games in Europe expanded maybe the interest in the National Football League in Europe?
Yes, that's for sure. I know that all these games are sold out. Every single game is sold out if the NFL is in Great Britain and plays there. And I know a lot of people flying from Germany, France, Italy, just to London to watch the game. And I also know there are plans maybe having a game in Germany next time or next year's. So this helps a lot to increase the interest of American football. And we see this in our teams, that more young people come to the teams and want to play football.
How does football in the United States compare to football in Germany?
Oh, well, let's put it on that. It's the same game. It is the same game, but the level is technically is just a big difference. We are far away from American football, technically wise, what you guys play here and what we can teach our kids.
So when you look at football in Germany, is this being played at colleges like it is in the United States, or how is football played?
The whole sports system in Europe is based on a club system. So there's no school sport. No school has facilities like you guys have here. It's all based on club systems. They are volunteers. They come, they sign a membership, and then they have fields and get coached and all that. But it's really based on clubs, and no school systems have sports.
So they're not in it as part of an educational deal. They're not in it to get paid. Why do they continue to play football?
They love the sport. They love it, and they are willing to come to practice and learn about the game and play it on the weekends and have fun.
Is coaching a similar way? Is it a volunteer system, or are they paid as coaches?
Yeah, most coaches are volunteers. They come after work, and then they scout games, and they prepare their practices, and then they go and have practice. And they are non-paid. Some of them, if you're in a higher league, we have full paid coaches.
You've been involved in a development program for coaches for a number of years. Why?
Probably also I love the sport. I'm doing this right now more than 25 years, and it's just good to see, and it's a good emotion and a good feeling to see how coaches develop. And if I bring over coaches I coached as players, then you know you're a long time involved in football.
Yeah, they call you a veteran, right?
Yes, they call me a veteran, yeah.
They call you a veteran. So when you're in this development or involved in this development of coaching, is it to increase the coaching in Europe and in Germany, or is your goal to qualify these guys to one day coach in the United States?
I think the biggest reason is to increase their knowledge about the game and have them as coaches in Europe, that players get coached well, that they have a modern style of American football, not old school football. I think these are the goals. What I expect from the coaches I bring with me is, and I would say it's the quality of the coaches.
Coach Nielsen has gone over to Germany and Europe as part of a convention, and I know guys who he's connected to have also made the trip to speak at conventions. What's the goal, or what's the message that they share with your coaches?
We have the Bavarian Coaches Convention is the convention I organize over there, and we started 15 years ago with Coach Nielsen and 40 coaches who listened to him. And now we are at the Adidas headquarters facility, and we host there more than 400 coaches each year. And we have always great speakers from the United States, also from Europe, also from Germany. They are very good coaches. And the goal is here really to increase the number of coaches who come together at a convention and share their knowledge and share what they thought and their philosophies of the game.
So with coaches who are getting involved in coaching football in Germany, and then they get involved with a trip like you're on right now, how do they get involved, and what kind of coaches are those? Are these guys who really want to excel themselves to higher levels?
Yes, for sure. There is a number I can let you know. On our regular license system, what the coaches have to do in Germany, we have there every year more than 30 coaches with a license. But I know just 25% of these coaches I see in a long-term coaching. And the people I bring over to the United States, it's more than 80% of these guys. They are really want to coach American football, and they want to become better, and they want to learn. And these are the guys you can say I see more than 80% of these guys in the next 10 or 20 years in coaching.
Very cool. You mentioned licenses. You have to be licensed to coach in Germany.
Yes. Like I told you before, we license everything in Germany. but it's part of our sports system. In every sport, it's not only American football. In every sport, you have to have a license to do this, to work with kids, with young people. The main thing is that you got some support from the government, and the government says, okay, if we support you, we want to have at least a type of quality that we can show that the person has, we support. That's pretty much the idea.
Do you see American football continuing to grow across Europe?
Sure, it will, and it does in the last years. I remember times that Germany, and yeah, we can say that the German Football League is probably the best league in Europe, and has a lot of players, and we brought over players from the United States every year, and college players and all that. And in the last, I would say, 5 years, and with the NFL, with the support of the NFL, even Spain, France, Turkey, all these countries really grown a lot of American football. We have a lot of leagues right there, and it's really growing a lot. And I'm pretty sure even in the next years it will grow a lot. And it's just the game and the philosophy of American football is made for the European society at the moment. I would say young people love it, and it's good to be involved in a system with many young guys, and I think this helps a lot in Europe at the moment.
You know, we talked about NFL Europe. Do a lot of Europeans, Germans, do they have favorite NFL teams? Or when they attend these games, are they just excited to be in attendance at an NFL game?
Yeah, most of them have a team, and they are fans of one of the teams. They have the merchandise stuff from the NFL. They buy it through the internet. I would say most of them have an NFL team. And college football is also pretty big in Europe, so they also have, they are fans of college teams.
So who are your favorite teams?
Well, South Dakota.
Yes, good answer.
It's a favorite team. And honestly, I have a player, Mark Nishocha. He's from my hometown, and I know him very well. He plays right now linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. So I think this is my favorite team with Mark on the team.
How cool is that to see a guy from so close to you and where your hometown is get a chance in the National Football League?
I think it's very great. It's I don't know the English word for that. What the impression is for that, but it's really great to see how Mark made his way up, played for Wyoming. In college and now playing in the NFL. He deserves it. He worked hard, and he's a very good athlete. So it's great to see, and I wish him all the best for the next years and winning more games with the NFL.
You talked at the very beginning about your connection with Coach Bob Nielsen. What kind of influence has he had on you in your growth of developing football coaches?
Well, I'm fortunate, very lucky to met Coach Bob Nielsen as one of the first American football coaches I met in the past, because you know Bob is a very good person. He's a very good coach. He knows what he's doing. He's structured and all that. And I saw many coaches from the United States maybe were not very successful in the States and thought in Europe is a better place to do it. So for me, Bob is really, I have to say that he's a mentor and a friend, and I learned so much from him and his way to coach that I can say it's a big influence for me what Bob had.
Very cool. Martin, appreciate your time very much. Thanks so much for it. And enjoy your time in South Dakota and have a safe trip home.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for your time.
Fans, don't forget Sunday night is the NCAA Volleyball Selection Show. University of South Dakota will hope for an at-large berth into the NCAA tournament. The show is scheduled to get underway at 7:30 Central Time, and it will be televised on ESPNU. As we wrap up the Thanksgiving weekend, we take a look at Coyote sports going on currently over the course of the weekend and into next week. The Coyote women's basketball team is playing in Las Vegas. They'll take on Ohio State on Friday and Northern Illinois on Saturday. Men's basketball team is in the middle of a West Coast road trip. They're at Northern Arizona on Saturday afternoon and will wrap up their trip at Washington on Monday evening. The Coyote women's basketball team is back at home on December 4th, that is Wednesday, when they take on the Creighton Blue Jays. Also, the Coyote men's basketball team is back at home next Friday to take on Mount Marty. Get your tickets at goyotes.com or call 605-677-5959. Catch a game, match, or meet soon Thanks for taking time to listen to YokeCast. It's been another edition, and I hope you had a tremendous Thanksgiving weekend with family, friends, or however you may have been able to spend it. Catch us next week again on another edition of YokeCast.